Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome to the kickoff of the week of the Steve Jones Show. Today's show is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury. See what they can do for you by visiting them at purdyinsurance.com. Steve Jones from the Sunbury Motors Studio here in just a few minutes. Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Lots to talk about this week. Lots to talk about from the interesting weekend. Guy you've heard on this program several times, had an interesting article. John Bacon, the guy who wrote Fourth and Long Thursday, had an interesting article that has gotten everybody talking a little bit this week, or this weekend, I should say. And lots of good news for Penn State.
We'll stay away from that for the time being. The Sochi Olympics are coming up. I actually talked to a guy that's going. Believe it or not.
Good.
So it actually is going to be going. I said, are you worried at all about... He said, nope, not concerned at all. But he's also going to be in the confines of the NBC compound. He said, he should be good there. So, yeah.
I know it was a busy weekend on campus, and I know you can't go into details. I get that, but there were two verbals that came out. I thought one was really interesting. A young man that was scheduled to go to, I believe it was Rutgers, and has transferred now to Penn State. Now, my question to you is, with 18 verbals of, now there, where does Penn State stand with what they have left? Is that something you can comment on?
Yeah, they have two left.
Okay.
I can confirm to you in no uncertain terms that the five early entries that we can talk about, by the way, because they're enrolled, are all counting on the 2013-2014 calendar. In other words, the Christian Hackenberg class. Hackenberg would be a 2013-2014 incoming freshman. Okay? So... that is, so they count against that group. That means that Penn State, under NCAA rules, has 20 available scholarships for this group. 75 is the top out number. The way I figure it is that there are 49 scholarship players right now for Penn State. Anthony Stanko counts as 50. That means there are 25 openings, 5 are already here, 55, 20 more after that. Verbal commitments. They got two more this weekend, and they got a walk-on this weekend. All right?
But when you look at the verbal commitments at wide receiver, if I'm Christian Hackenberg, I got to be excited about the next couple of years.
Well, everything's about numbers, though, and it's about, you know, you have to understand that how this is done. If you do this thing right, you are supposed to be filling positions of need and also positional balance. That's why when I talk to coaches, I always ask them about when they're forming their own program, what their personal preference on positional balance is. Okay? Joe had a positional balance. Okay, Bill O'Brien felt that there were two areas where his preferred positional balance was different than Joe's. Okay? Bill wanted more secondary people in the program and fewer offensive linemen. Joe had more linemen and fewer secondary people. Okay? Just a preferred balance. Okay? Just a preferred balance that each one had. Now look at Penn State at the wide receiver spot. This is what's happened and why you need wide receivers. Trevor Williams was flipped from offense to defense. He is now a corner. I believe it's probably, they're probably going to keep him a corner, I believe. Allen Robinson opted to go to the NFL draft. Brandon Felder graduated. Alex Kenny transferred to UMass. That leaves you Geno Lewis, Richie Anderson, and Matt Zanellato as your experienced receivers and Jonathan Warner. So, what do you think you need there? You need wide receivers.
Well, I mean, it makes complete sense. I mean, I understand with all the things that's been going on lately, and then one very talented wide receiver deciding to go to the NFL, you have a little bit of a gap there. And that's why I said, if I'm Christian Hackenberg with these guys coming in, I feel really good.
Well, I'm happy they went out and got them, but he hasn't worked it down with them yet. He had a perfect sync with Allen Robinson, not so much with Alex Kenny or with Brandon. Yeah, he had some with Brandon Felder. So you develop that chemistry, and that's why it's going to be critical. When did these guys come in? Well, these guys, I think only one, Tompkins, is in now. Okay? So he'll get a chance to work with him in the spring. Okay, he'll get a chance to work with him in the spring. The other guys, he will not get a chance to work with any of them until they come in the summer. So you take everything a step at a time. I think, you know, from a quarterback point of view, he has to be excited that it's a position of need and they're filling it. Number two, not only that, it appears on the surface, based on what others evaluate, that they are talented players. Now it's a question of getting them in here. And you get them in here, and then you work with them, and, you know, do they run the right routes? Do they know the plays? There's 5,000 things that, you know, I feel like when it comes to recruiting, I always feel like we're in that section of the movie of Apollo 13.
Which section is that?
The one where they've just come out from the backside of the moon.
Okay.
And Bill Paxton accuses Kevin Bacon of basically, you know, when you threw that switch, Jack, I mean, really. And he says, and he looks at him and says, you know what? He says, we're going to skip out of the atmosphere at this rate. He says, I figured it out. And he looks over, and then Tom Hanks, as they're arguing back and forth, looks at him and says, hey, guys, settle down. He says, there are 800 things that have to happen to get us home. All right? Right now, we're up to number 8.
I was going
to
say, I can't remember what number it was, but it was single digits.
All right. Okay. Right now, we're up to number 8. Okay. So, as for the John Bacon article, I'll make this very brief. We've had John on the show how many times?
At least 3.
Yes. Okay. Including late November.
Right.
There's only one thing in that article I didn't know about, and it was a small item. Other than that, there really is nothing in there John hasn't said on our show before, has he? Did you read it?
I did.
Yeah, there's nothing on there he hasn't said on the show. So, you know, it's an addendum to Bill leaving and his departure. Super Bowl media day is tomorrow, and then, of course, the countdown is 10 days to the Olympics now. There is I talked to a friend who's going. He's not concerned at all. I said, well, what do you want to go see? He said, I'll tell you what I don't want to see. I said, okay. Because he's been to the Olympic Games before. He went to Vancouver and, you know, Turin. I said, well, what don't you want to see? He says, I don't want to go see skiing. I said, why don't you want to see skiing? He says, because you're standing there. You go, phew. That's all the time you see them.
Yeah, they're gone before. Yeah, that's not really a good spectator sport.
He said, I'd love to watch bobsled. He said, but the same thing. You pick a spot, they're gone. He says, not really a spot that you can look at the entire run. On TV, they do a brilliant job of showing you the entire run.
Yeah, the only thing you can do is stand there at one particular corner, usually like a big bending corner, and then watch the video monitor for the rest of the time.
And here's what he said. I said, what are you going to go see? He said, well, I'm definitely going to go to hockey. Now, that I would go to in a heartbeat. There's the world's best hockey players on the same sheet of ice. Not bad.
Let me guess what the other one is.
Sure.
Short track speed skating.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what I would. That's what my choice would have been, too, because of the intensity of it.
His wife wants to go see curling. And I said, really? I said, well, I said, great. He goes, no, he says, I don't understand why. He says, but she got into it at the last Olympiad and thought it was kind of cool. I said, okay. And I think it was, is there women's curling?
Yes.
And so they're going to go to that. And she wants to go to figure skating.
I would not go to figure skating. I mean, I understand there are a lot of people that are fans of it. I'm not.
Danny can go to anything he wants. Okay?
He's got the gold pass.
I mean, he can go to anything he wants. But the amount of money he had to pay for his visa to get there was off the charts. Which, I mean, there's a little gouging going on there. But it was, I mean, it was off the charts, the amount of money he had to pay. I said, are you really looking forward to it? He goes, oh, no, I'm really, really looking forward to it. I'm like, okay. So any concerns about security? He says, nah, he said, I'll be in the NBC area. I go, okay.
You know, that's, see, I think if you stay in the Olympic regions, like in the Olympic zone, I think I would feel comfortable. Then again, we thought that in Atlanta, too.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure about the... There are too many bad people to live near there.
Honestly, I don't know that it would stop me from going. And it definitely would not stop me from participating if I were an athlete.
No, but you know what? The Olympic movement has to be a little smarter about things. Absolutely. And they're not.
Yeah,
they're not.
Yeah, they need to look at these sites better.
Okay, I mean, where's the next Winter Olympics? South Korea. Oh, you don't think that's not volatile? I mean, I think they think that they're going to go in and they're going to all bring in peace and harmony and love in the whole thing, and everybody's going to go, hey, this is great. I'm sorry, bad people don't subscribe to that. My wish for the International Olympic Committee is to have something that they'll never have, common sense. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. It's always common sense to go with them.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, welcome back. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. You know, the Purdy's have served the Valley for such a long time. They have so many people who have depended on them. Now, if you are looking to pick up insurance, well, find out what we already know. You know, you go with people you just like, trust, and understand your needs. That's Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Next week, we head into our third year on the show. We're looking forward to that very, very much. Buhner's in New Zealand right now.
Where it's summer, he tells me repeatedly.
It is summer. Bob had some interesting things, too. We had a little email communication this weekend. It dealt with John Bacon's article about the presidential search and so forth. Probably better for Mark Lawrence's show on that because, you know, we deal with sports, you know, because a lot of what John wrote dealt with Bill O'Brien's departure to the Houston Texans and a line between AD and football coach and so forth. You know, it was there was a lot of that, which John's talked about in the show before. And we'll get John back on the show. We'll talk to him again about all that. And we were talking a little bit about, I have a friend that's going to the Olympics. Was in his box for the hockey game on Saturday night. I went and saw Boston College. I ranked second in the country. They beat Penn State 3-2. And for Penn State, that's quite a gap closing because they lost to the same team 8-2 in Pittsburgh about a month ago. But I sat in his box and we talked and he says, yeah, no, I'm going to the Olympics. I'm going on February 10th. Naturally, I thought of you right away.
Stowing away in his luggage? Is that what you were thinking?
That you wanted to stow away in his luggage?
No, I figured that's what you were thinking. That...
No, I just thought that it would obviously be something you'd love to go to.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, and, you know, in talking to Roger, we'd love to send you. So, good luck. Sure, it'll go well.
So he's going to the Olympics, but you said that he had a passport?
Well, you know, I had to get a visa to go over.
Oh, the visa. That's right.
He had to pay through the nose to get the thing. So he's going on the 10th. He's staying through. When do the darn things end?
23rd.
23rd, yeah. I guess he's going to be there for the 2 weeks. And his thing is he wants to go to the hockey tournament. Great. See Team USA, see Team Canada. Wife wants to go to curling, especially women's curling. She wants to go to figure skating. He wants to go to a speed skating. He wants to go to speed skating. Now, those are stadium-type events, and there are a lot of other things. For example, luge, two-man luge, bobsled, two-man, four-man, whatever, that they're not great spectator sports. They're great television sports. Because as we watch it, we can follow the sled down the hill. We can follow the skier down the hill. It's one of the things that makes, for example, the extreme sports, which I think have saved the Winter Olympics, the extreme sports are great for the fans because you can have extreme sports in a confined area and you can see it and watch it in a stadium-type atmosphere.
I actually watched a little of that this weekend.
Extreme spoil, X Games?
X Games, yeah. I mean, there really wasn't a whole lot else on, you know.
No, I understand that. But I'm saying, they are great because they are usually in confined areas. Even, for example, let's take mogul skiing. That really is in a confined area. When you watch downhill skiing, giant slalom, you know, they eat up chunks of the mountain to do that. Slalom, not so much. But when you're talking about downhill, which is a great event, okay, GS, which is a great event, you really, unless you want to hang down by the finish line and watch the last, 200 yards, you really don't see what's going on unless you're watching the video screen. So those aren't great spectator events up in the old mountainside. Same thing with bobsled. I think bobsled's a great event to watch. Except if you're there goes the sled. Okay, fine. I got my thrill. Saw the team. I saw USA 1 go by, I think.
I'm not sure, but I think.
I think.
No, I would get... When you said last half hour there's one sport that he wanted to see, my first guess would have been short track speed skating, because that is like... roller derby on ice.
No, you wanted to go see hockey, which is what I would
want
to see.
Well, you know, you said, yeah.
I would want to see hockey. Let's see. We talked about recruiting, and I did confirm for you the numbers. And Jeff Nelson's the one I got the confirmation from of the numbers. And we're right. What we've been saying is right the entire time. The five that were the early entries count on the 13-14 group. Okay, that's the Christian Hackenberg group. All right. And then the other 20, of which they have 18 verbal commitments right now. Okay, that's the current group. But no matter what, here's the key, can't go past 75. Now, my numbers that there are 49 guys. Anthony Stanko, who is still on scholarship, not playing, makes 50. The other guy, I'll tell you, here's a wild card I'll hold out for you. Jordan Kerner. Jordan Kerner hurt his knee, and Bill O'Brien said he was going to keep him on scholarship. If that's the case, then I think you get to 51, and maybe they only have one more to give. The Big Ten does allow oversigning by three, which is the gray shirt part of it. But for Penn State, they can have no more than 75 on scholarship, and they can bump it to 80 next year. Those are the numbers. So they get two more verbals this weekend, plus a walk-on commitment for a kicker. That's where they are right now. And the two guys that they got this weekend are on the recruiting trail, considered to be high-profile guys. For those who believe in the star system, of which I don't, but I understand that, you know, it's an easier gauge for everybody to get a read on prospects. These, the two guys that they got this weekend, are both four-star guys. How about that?
Oh, but here's my question for you, and there's no question they're four-star guys, according to several different rating systems, but my question to you is, we're seeing a lot of guys changing their commitments and decommitting and coming to Penn State. How often does that actually happen on a regular year with no other changes in coaching staff or anything?
A lot.
I mean, I understand the Vanderbilt to Penn State. That makes sense to me. But I'm talking about guys that, well, for instance, you know, one guy going to Cal and then decommitting and coming to Penn State. How often does that happen, even when there is no coaching changes?
About a third of the time nationally. It's not really that uncommon. You know, I remember one year Michigan was able to get a running back and a wide receiver out of the same high school in Ohio. The running back had verbally committed to Penn State, and the wideout had verbally committed to Purdue. And Rich Rodriguez came in and got them to flip and go to Michigan. Well, there's a lot of complaining around the conference about, hey, wait a minute, this is kind of really an unwritten rule among coaches, the old handshake agreement, that once somebody verbals to one of the schools in the conference, you stay away. All right? And Rodriguez's basic thing was, well, I didn't shake hands with anybody. So it happens. Usually if it's within the conference. And technically at this hour, Rutgers is not in the conference. Usually if it's within the conference, you don't see that kind of changing and flipping going. How about that? Because it really is between the conference coaches. If one guy gets a guy, he's like, okay, fine. But if it's in another conference and, you know, and the guy's wavering, if somebody's wavering, that means they weren't firmly with you to begin with. And when I was talking about the Vanderbilt kids earlier, the one thing about the Vanderbilt kids, you're talking about 17 and 18-year-olds. Okay, in life, most people, A, want to be pursued, and B, they also want things in their life settled. Well, for 8 or 9 days, for the Vanderbilt recruits that had verbaled to the Vanderbilt staff that had James Franklin as the head coach, their lives were very much unsettled. They didn't know what was going to go on. You know, who's the new coach going to be? Who is the new staff? I mean, gee, you know, say you're a defensive lineman, and, you know, and Sean Spencer was your lead recruiter, and he's the guy you really bonded with and so forth. Okay. and suddenly you're sitting there at 17, 18 saying, I don't know what's going on. And you're confused. And all of a sudden, the new staff calls up, which is the guys you've been dealing with, and they said, hey, look, we still really like you. And you're sitting back, and you're saying to yourself, you know, these are the guys I'm comfortable to begin with anyway. I'm going to go up, take a look at the place, see what the heck they got. You know, hey, Penn State's really great. Because you want to be settled in life as much as possible. I mean, some people have that constant wander in them. Larry Brown. You know, that always are moving from one space to another space. I mean, there's some people like that, but most people like to be settled in their lives. And for a 17 or 18-year-old feeling that they're confident and all set to go as to what they were going to do, and all of a sudden, like, uh-oh, now my whole world's a little turned upside down here. What I thought was going to happen isn't going to happen. And then you find out that the same guys who had recruited you to Vanderbilt would love you to go to Penn State. You seriously consider doing something like that because these are people that you bonded with and built a relationship with. When you haven't signed with anybody, you can do that. And Penn State has also lost two guys along the way. So, I mean, there's a mix. There's a wash. Two people that had committed to Penn State, or excuse me, check it, I think three. Three had committed to Penn State and are no longer committed. That's fine. That's their choice as well. They have to do what makes them comfortable. Once you sign, then you're locked in. Until you're not signed, you can do whatever you want. Yeah, so you don't begrudge anybody who left Penn State to go someplace else, and you don't sit there and feel badly when they leave Rutgers, Vanderbilt, or whatever and decide to go to Penn State, because it's still a process right to the end. And if they weren't that, you know, and there are all different reasons why. Look, I committed to Penn State. I didn't commit to the coaching staff. So you stay. Other people felt strongly about the coaching staff and decided to go someplace else because they were hotly pursued by somebody else and felt comfortable there. The decisions of 17 and 18-year-olds, a little different than the decisions of 37 and 38-year-olds. So, yeah, you see about a third of them flip as time goes. Sometimes it's a coaching change. Sometimes it's like, you know what, as the time played out, I'm having second thoughts.
I thought it was interesting, though, the kids that came on campus this weekend, the positive comments that they have. I mean, they're every single one of them seemed to have tweet positive comments about their experience, about meeting the potential players and everything. That's actually, if you're a Penn State fan right now, that has to make you really, really, really happy.
Well, look, who are your best recruiters?
I would say probably guys that are near their age.
Right. Okay. The best recruiters, if you have a program that is going and moving forward, your best recruiters are your current players. That's your peer group. Okay. You go on campus, you sit there, you know, they take you through as to what life is like there, and they sit there and they tell you point blank, you know what, it's really great here. You know what? Yeah, we get driven hard. Yeah, we get pushed hard. But you know what? Really, you know, we get great support, love the coaching staff, you know, treat us really well, get the most out of us, the whole thing. Yeah, I don't like this and I don't like that. But you know what? For the most part, it's an awesome experience. They can tell, they tell them that. Now, there's also a flip side to it. And this, James Franklin doesn't have this part yet. He will. But there does get to be a point where, when you have an established program where, and you build trust with your current players, where they can, the current players can go up to you, and it's happened here at Penn State, and they'll say, you know what, you know that guy you brought in here? Yeah, not our kind of guy. There's something about him. And you know what? And Joe's done this. A couple prominent guys. One's having a great career in the NFL right now. And the players weren't comfortable with the guy. So, Penn State stopped recruiting him. Because the players, you know, their read was, You know, not good for the locker room, not our kind of guy. You know, you have to trust your leaders because they're mature enough to know who fits and who doesn't and who would wreck the chemistry and who wouldn't. And you have to develop a trust between coach and player to get that. Bill was getting it as well. I talked to Bill openly about that as well. James will get that at some point. But it's hard for him right now to pull aside a couple of guys and say, what do you think of this guy? Because he doesn't really know the guy he's talking to begin with anyway. They're still not beyond that at that particular point. And the coaches have spent a lot of time on the road. But what they've done is Penn State will eventually break the state down into 9 parts. They haven't done that yet. Right now, you know, for example, if they're pursuing a wide receiver, then Josh Gattis is the lead recruiter on that guy because he is the wide receiver coach. And obviously John Donovan, the offensive coordinator. And then James Franklin comes in. Now remember, here's the other part too. All right. How many in-home visits, I'm talking about in-home, does the head coach get with the prospect? To get to know the kid, the family, the whole thing. How many does a coach get during the course of the year with a prospect?
I don't remember that number. Is it 2?
Nope.
I don't know. I don't remember the number.
1.
Is it just 1? Okay.
You only get 1. You only get 1. Those are the rules.
Well, after missing 2, I probably should have guessed 1.
Well, that doesn't matter. But I'm just saying that I think people think you get, oh, yeah, 2 or 3 chances. You keep going. No, you get 1 in home where you get to go in the home and talk to them. 1. All right? What happens is that the position or region coach, whatever, next year will be regions and so forth, because they're going to get 9 regions of the state. Then everybody's going to get a region outside of Pennsylvania. Each one will get 1 of those that's peripheral to Pennsylvania. And then nationally, it'll be the position coach. If they say there's a great running back they want to pursue in California that has interest in Penn State, say they wanted to do that, Charles Huff would then be the lead recruiter on because he's the running backs coach. So that's how it's going to work. That's not how it works now. Because it is a mad scramble from the time the staff was hired to letter of intent day, which is a week from Wednesday, it is all about positional coaches. They want to get a tight end, John Donovan will be the lead recruiter. They want to get a linebacker, Brent Pry is going to be the lead recruiter. You know, they want to get a defensive lineman, Sean Spencer is going to be the lead recruiter. You know, they want to get an offensive lineman, it'll be Herb Hand that's the lead recruiter. That's how they're doing it now. Then they'll organize into regions of the state and peripheral regions around the state. And then anybody nationally will then be recruited by the position coach. Come back with more. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
The Sunbury Motor Company has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915. Sunbury Motor Company has over 300 new Fords and over 100 new Hyundais that must be sold now. Get savings up to $11,000 during the January inventory liquidation event at Sunbury Motor Company. Liquidation means vehicles need to fly off the lot as quickly as possible, and Sunbury Motors will do what it takes to earn your business now. See all of the great deals on new Fords and Hyundais now because time is of the essence, and if you wait too long, the new Ford or Hyundai you've had your eyes on will be in someone else's driveway. At Sunbury Motor Company, they never pressure you into buying a vehicle you don't want or that's out of your price range. They want to make sure you're getting the best possible deal with the best possible service before, during, and after the sale. This is the time to buy that new Ford or Hyundai, and this is the place. Stop at Sunbury Motor Company now while the selection's at its best. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at SunburyMotors.com.
Even when they grow up, your kids can still surprise you. My son calls to tell me he bought his first new car, picked the make, model, and dealer all by himself, and negotiated his own deal. But when it came to insuring his new ride, he wanted Dad's advice. I told him one word, Selective. They've always done right by me. It's nice to know you're still needed.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at prettyinsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
All right, next hour, we'll talk more about recruiting. National 11 and 10 days a week from Wednesday. Tomorrow, we're going to give you a chance to hear from Corey Geiger, Mike Poorman, statecollege.com, Corey from the Altoona Mirror, Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Also, you get a chance to hear from the assistant coaches you did not hear from on Friday. Wednesday, a look at Super Bowl Media Day. Michael Robinson, Jordan Hill scheduled to be our guests. Other than that,